Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your election of us. We thank you that you've called us, you've sanctified us, you've set us apart, you've glorified us, and you've called us to a time and to a work and to a season so important at this time that we stand, O Heavenly Father, in the confidence of knowing that we have been preordained for this time and for this moment, and we know, O Father, that your Spirit is ever with us, and we cannot fail. We cannot fail. We shall not fear. We shall not be afraid, because you go with us and your Spirit goes ahead of us, and we take a possession of that which you have possessed before us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. You know, in the days of Daniel, Daniel and his friends encountered what was supposed to be, what could have been, a time of adversity for them, when a scenario was created where they were supposed to be distinguished from the rest of the people. Now, you know, in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar and his dream, and how he tells his magicians, his astrologers, his soothsayers, and all the group of whom was Daniel, counted among them and as equal to them, that unless they tell the king his dream and tell him the interpretation, they were all going to be put to death. Now, when Daniel went to seek the Lord about the mystery of the king's dream, he went in a time which could have been a time of distress, because he only had to go and stop the king's executioner and told him, please don't kill anybody, and go and tell the king that tomorrow I am going to tell him his dream and the interpretation, even before Daniel knew it. But he did that in faith. And then, in the night, it is revealed to him, but not just the dream and its interpretation, but something more profound. Because there is a king who has given an order that they be killed. And he, Daniel and his friends, as well as all the others, could have been killed. But then, something more profound than just the dream and its interpretation is revealed to Daniel. And then when he sees it, he understands a mystery. Because not only does he see the dream and its interpretation, but he also sees that kings, including Nebuchadnezzar, were set forth by God. And then God also shows him that, and here is a whole reel of what's going to happen between now until the end of days. And it is all set in stone, And that's how it is. And it is set up there. Now, when Daniel wakes up and he has the interpretation, start from verse 20, he says, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." Go ahead, verse 21. "And he changes the times and the seasons." Daniel sees that Nebuchadnezzar, who in that time was a man of great authority, he sees what Nebuchadnezzar would have wanted to know, where he stands in the whole dream. But then also God shows him the entirety of all humanity until the God of heaven. Because when he's interpreting the dream, he says that then there will come a time ahead when there will be kings with a king with fierce countenance and things like that, and 10 kings. And then he's talking about the time in which we are living. And then he says, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will establish a kingdom on earth that shall not be moved. Now, he sees all the way up to the millennial rule of Christ, when a stone that is cut out without hands comes and crushes the entirety of Nebuchadnezzar's statue, the huge statue that he saw, and brings all of it down to the end. And then, anyway, Daniel, "Blessed be the name of the God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." Go to the next verse. "For he changes," go to the next verse. "For he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings." Now imagine, a king is going to remove Daniel, but God shows him that God removes kings and puts kings. So he defines times and seasons. Now listen to this. He says there are times and there are seasons. Then he goes on to describe what are the things that make times and seasons. And he says he removes kings, he raises up kings, he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Go to the next verse. "He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells in him." Now, this is Daniel praising the Lord after he had gotten the secret. And he's saying, "Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who has time in his hands. And he, God, changes times and changes seasons according to what suits him. Then he removes kings and installs kings." And then he says he gives wisdom. Go to the previous verse. "He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." Now I want you to know that times and seasons are defined by certain things. One of them is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I'll give you an example. There was a time when there were things which we thought were knowledge. And if they were to be presented to us right now, we'll see that it was all useless stuff. But at the time, we actually valued it as very knowledgeable. But then not even that, even things which, and I'm not saying that they were wrong, they were just wisdom and knowledge for a different season. Then a new season comes, and with the new season comes new wisdom, a new revelation, and new knowledge. Praise the Lord. Now, there was a time when some of the things that we know are being accomplished, are going to be accomplished, would be out of place. For instance, people talk about the church. Now, sometime a decade or so ago, when you spoke about the church, people understood the church to be a congregation. And they never thought about it beyond a congregation. So church is congregation. Now they could even think about it as the international church, but what they mean is some kind of international congregations, as in different congregations, but all of them under the body of Christ, and that's the church. But then now if you still think the church is congregation, then your wisdom and your revelation need to be upgraded. You are operating on old software. Because now, in the dispensation that we are in, we know that a church is the God's constituency on earth. Amen? Now, when he talks about his coming for a glorious church, he does not mean just a church which has glory and there are miracles and what. No, he means glorious in politics, glorious in medicine, glorious in finance, on top of every mountain. So that the church is is people who are in control in education, in business, in politics, in every, and that is the church. In other words, they're a constituency of God on earth. Now, they are not a congregation. Now, it's amazing that there are some people who actually, especially people from the kingdom of darkness, understood this. That you can actually be a vessel of God to create dominion without actually necessarily being what people called church. Okay? So they create some kind of church thing. But then, imagine if you actually expanded your software to think of the church as something which is supposed to be in total domination in every area, every sphere of influence. Because you go to education, it's church. Amen? You go to business, it's what? That means it's members, individuals, but they are in control and they are in dominion in all these different places. And now that is the meaning of the word church. Now, all through the time, wisdom and revelation changes with times and seasons. Now, God sets times and seasons. And with them, he reveals, this is what Daniel is trying to put here. He reveals deep and secret things. There are certain things which are supposed to be revealed at a certain time. Amen? And now, if you hold on to things which were revealed previously, and something different is revealed because it is supposed to match a new season, but somehow you are so attached to the old revelation, you miss out. And that's actually what causes you to miss your seasons. Now, I'm going to explain to you a bit of times and seasons. But I'll give you an example. If you go to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, and verse, start from verse 6. He says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Go to verse 8. But you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, they are trying to ask him things which are supposed to be for a period coming ahead. And he tells them, no, that's not your business. Now, for you right now, those were his disciples who had seen his earthly ministry. He says, now, your commission right now is to go and receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then go and be witnesses all over, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and all over the world. That's as far as the revelation for you goes. So just go and be witnesses. You saw the life of Jesus. Did you see Jesus? Yes, I'm a witness. I'm a witness to what he did. Now, but later on, if you proceed slowly, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, he says, now you see, the wisdom and knowledge has been upgraded. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. Now here, they're asking him about times and seasons and says, no, that is not for you to know. Yours is just go and be witnesses. But now much later on, when Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica, he says, concerning the times and the seasons, you have no reason that I should write to you. In other words, you are supposed to be in knowledge. You are supposed to know what the times are and what the seasons are. And to the point that he says, you don't even need an epistle from me. But then, of course, he goes on to say a few things there ahead, which are very important. Now, I want to show you something, that God sets times and seasons. Now, times and seasons are two different things. Times are set. Okay? And when God sets a time, there is a time for something. And then it is set, and then it cannot be altered. Now, seasons rotate. They go back and forth, just like any other season. There are certain things in Scripture which are set for a specific time, and it cannot be changed. But there are so many others which are subject to what men do, which could happen, or may happen, or may not happen, depending on how men receive it. Now, those are called seasons. So, a season comes for something to happen, and then somebody, because people are not ready for it, it vanishes. And then it comes back at another time in future. Sometimes it can take long, sometimes it can take short, depending. There have been scenarios in Scripture where seasons took so long. For instance, in Acts chapter 13, the children of Israel, when they are sent to go and spy the land, and they come back with a negative report, and the people believe a negative report, that season took 40 years to come back. They missed their season and it came back 40 years later. And you think that's a lot of time. It is a lot of time, of course. But then there have been longer seasons that came back. Remember when Jesus was coming over in Matthew 23? Jerusalem. And he said, oh, how I wanted to gather you under, you know, like a hen gathers its chicks. But you would not let me. Then he says, you've missed the time of your visitation. Now, by missing that time of their visitation, it took them 1,900 years for that season to come back. And yet, they could have had it there and then if they had received Jesus. Imagine a season that takes 1,900 years to come back. And seasons always come back, just like every season. Some might come shorter, some might come longer, but they always do what? They come back. However, Paul goes on to say here, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's go back there. He says, but concerning the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Go ahead. But when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Go ahead. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Now, there's something he's saying here. Because talking about times and seasons, the reason people miss their season is because they are asleep. When he's saying, let us not sleep, he's not talking about the world. He's talking about the church. Amen? And he's telling them, let us not sleep. Because so many people miss a season of something because they are asleep. Something happens, there is a wind that moves in a specific direction, and people miss it and miss out on it. And they will wait. They will have to wait some other time for it to come back. And then it will come back. But unfortunately, they can miss it again. Now, I can tell you for sure that I know in the course of my life, I've missed so many seasons because I was asleep. Amen? And every time you miss it, you go through a period of suffering that you could have avoided. If you had just taken advantage, think about it like almost the seasons of planting. If you do not plant when it's the season of planting, you have to wait until the next season, right? But maybe in that time you're going to be hungry. Because, and when people are harvesting, you'll have nothing to harvest because you missed the season. Now, I know that it is when people are spiritually not alert, something comes and there is an opportunity, let's say for something special, and there is a grace which has been unleashed for something which is unique, let's say like ownership of property, and the season comes for it, and it does not last forever. Now, the problem is people think it lasts forever. It doesn't. It will come for a short time. If you actually picked it, even if you had no money, and you understood there is a season of ownership, and you went and started looking at things which you want to own, and started moving in a certain direction, you would not leave that season the same. Amen? But now the minute the season comes, now here is where the enemy comes into play. Because he knows that God sets the times and the seasons. But the enemy can come and ensure that people do not miss, people miss the season because they are distracted or they are asleep or they are not spiritually sharp or they do not understand what God is trying to do or they do not listen to words which were given to them and take them as a pronouncement of a season. Because seasons, there are so many ways you can tell signs and seasons. I'll give you an example. If you go to Genesis chapter 1 verse 14, okay, he says, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and for years. Okay? Now, he says, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day and the night, and let them be signs. Now, sometimes you can tell a sign just by what is happening, David. For instance, have you heard people, and now, you know, there is a certain wisdom of the earth which can be glorified. Now, I saw some pastor, calls himself an apostle. writing and saying, the year has begun. Some people are going to start making pronouncements. This year is the year of this. This year is the year of that. This year is the year of this. But let me tell you the truth. It's just 31st December to 1st January. Nothing is going to change. You're still going to go and sleep and wake up and so on. And then all the things that you declared are not going to come to pass. Guess what? They will not come to pass for him. But God said, years are signs. You see, it's not just a year that now a year has ended. We've ended another year. We are not the one who set these years in motion. Now, when God sets them in motion, they are supposed to be signs. So when somebody says this year is a year of something, that is, if he has received it from the Lord, it's powerful. When somebody says, no, it's just the changing of dates from 2022 to 2023, rubbish. Because, and now that's an apostle. And now, let me tell you, when he put that up, it was very popular on social media. And everybody said, yeah, I believe this man. I even want to attend this man's church. He said, even the changing of a day, you're not the one who set the sun in motion to come out. That's why he says his masses are new every morning. Okay? Even that very day is a pronouncement of something, of a certain thing. Now, if you take every day as the sun has come out, this is a pronouncement of something. Amen? Or even this is a new week. And then you proclaim something over the week. Are you the one who set a week 7 days? Are you the one who created the earth 6 days and rested on the seventh? So he's the one who put it in place. So even a week, you can say this week, I am expecting this and this, because those were times and seasons set by him, not by you. No man decided that a week is 7 days. No. Why not eight? Why not nine? So you can say morning, every morning. His masses are new every morning. Then he says, he loads us with benefits every day. Every day. Now, you see, it's signs and seasons. Now, some of them are just times, like night, day, year, and so on. But others can only be picked in the spirit. There are some which will not be released because it's a new day, a new week. But it can come any time, and the wave moves in a certain direction, and you can only pick it in the spirit, and you know that there is something happening. And now, if you are asleep, as the apostle said in 1 Thessalonians, you will miss it because the season comes for something and you do not see it. And you miss it, and then you have to wait a full cycle for that season to come back. And then you hope that the next time when it comes, you will be ready to take advantage of it. Therefore, let us not sleep, he says, as others do. But let us watch and be sober. Okay? Go ahead to the next verse. Then he says, for those who sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober all the time. Now, sober, we are talking about being alert, knowing exactly what is happening. Now, when the enemy sees seasons are coming, even in your life, he can create a serious distraction so that you miss that season. Because he knows if you miss it, you'll have to wait some time. And now, for you, your time on your here is limited by time. You understand? There are things which are supposed to be done at a certain time. Now, there is a certain book maybe you could have written some time ago, and you got distracted, and then the season passes. And then even if you write it, you will never be as successful. If you write it out of season. Amen? There is a word for season. Jesus said, talking about a man who went on a far country and left his servants in charge of his house. And he said, blessed is that servant who, when the master comes, he finds him giving the servants food in due season. There is a food for some season. Now, there are words which, if they are spoken out of season, are useless. But they are powerful when they are spoken in season. I'll give you an example. The time we are in, if we thought like the early church, and then we said like the early church, we are going to be, moving from place to place, everybody selling their house and bringing it to apostles' feet. I mean, if you have been led to sow, yes. But we are not going to be serving food communally like they did that time. You know, there is something for every time, you understand? Now, I'll give you an example. You can feel a certain very big urge to sow a very big seed which you've never sown. And it just shows up from nowhere. And you do not know there is a season. And it's announcing a season. Then you see her, but now I have to pay school fees. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to do that. I think I will sow 1 month from now. You've missed it. You'll sow it 1 month from now, and you'll never get what you could have gotten if you did it in season. Do you understand? Now, if you do it in season, it takes you to a different level completely. Because it has come, you know what seasons do? It has come to take you to another level. Now, it comes personally. First of all, there are seasons which are in the church. But now I'm talking about seasons which happen in people's private lives. There is a season for you to move from renting to ownership. And then it shows up in a certain way. And then suddenly, you find yourself looking at catalogs of houses. Then suddenly, a broker whom you don't even know calls your number by mistake and tells you there is a house that is on sale. There are things which God does to stir you up. You understand? Eh? And then you see one person, the second, the third, the fourth. Then you say, this cannot be coincidence. Maybe the Lord is announcing a season of ownership. Praise the Lord. Now, you either take it up at that time or you lose it. And you say, but I don't have the money. Seasons are not subject to money. They are subject to God. Times and seasons. But then, the enemy is a master of creating distractions, which will make people think that just because it was the right thing to do last month, it's the right thing to do now. Maybe, but it cannot have the same impact if the season for it was last month. Just like if you planted seed out of season, I mean seed like real seed, maize, not money, but like seeds in the ground out of season. Can you get the same harvest as somebody who planted in season? You can't. So now, there is a very important aspect of life called seasons. And now when you understand that you cannot wake up in the morning, you don't have money, you are even struggling to pay rent, and then you suddenly, you start feeling an urge to own a house. That cannot be your mind. Don't fool yourself. Because if it was your mind would tell you, forget about it. Then you say, but what's wrong with me? Why am I thinking like this? I don't even have the means to. Then somebody calls you. Then another one calls you. Then another one calls you. Then another one shows you a place. Then you say, how come all these things seem to be adding together? There has got to be a season. Amen? Now, if you are not, as Paul said, asleep, you'll stand up and say, what do I have to lose? If God wants me to own, then he's going to do it. Let me not frustrate. You know what the scripture says, taking the grace of God in vain. Eh? So let me not take the grace of God in vain. I am going to stand up and go and start looking at how. And you will see, I'm telling you, there are things which are interesting. You drive past a place. You have never thought you have been comfortable renting your house. Then you suddenly, every day you're driving, you're looking at houses, looking at houses, looking at houses, and you think it's by mistake. It's not. Praise the Lord. Maybe something is being announced in your life, and you might actually, if you move in that season, you can get things which are beyond any results that can come at any other time. There were times in the scripture, I remember, for instance, one time when David inquired of the Lord, should I go and attack the Philistines? And the Lord said, go. And then he went, and then he crushed them. Then a second time he asked, should I go and attack the Philistines? And the Lord said, go. Then he went, and he crushed them. Then the third time, he said, can I go and attack the Philistines? The Lord said, don't go. Then he said, you just wait and stand in the trees. Then he says, when you hear the trees making, a wind in the trees making a certain sound, then you attack. Because God has gone ahead of you. Now, if David said the first time, he said yes. The second time, he said yes. So what will he say the third time? Yes. You go and they hammer you. And then you come back bruised. But now God said, no, this time don't go. You wait for the right time. Now, when he heard, the scripture says, when he heard the sound that the Lord had told him about, he went and he found the Philistines in disarray. And the battle was very simple. Because he had gone at the time when the Lord was moving. Now, this is the power of times and seasons. Now, remember in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel says, God changes times and seasons and removes kings and installs kings, gives wisdom and revelation and knowledge, all according to season. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now, if you are in a church and you're still preaching the things which you used to preach in the 1990s, you know, there is a curse. You have to break a curse. We need Chikorimo. Chikorimo. Do you know? I was one of the first people who taught Chikorimo in 1990s. There's a book I read, and now the book for it had some substance because it was by a man of God whom I respected. And it was God blessing that. So I went. And now the church, that church there, likes things which condemn them. Have you ever seen people like that? Eh? Like when you come and tell them you're blessed, they look at you like this. Now tell them you're cursed. And not even a pastor. Some man of God said, and now for him he knows better. Then he went and wrote over the how to break curses, what? Eh? Then somebody said, but you man, you know these things are fake. The guy said, I know they are fake, but that's what people want to hear. Because people want it when you put them down. Why? Because that's what they are used to. Now, I remember I went to a church where the pastor's wife was a star in curses. Eh? Like she knew every curse, even she knew them by name. Eh? So I went to that place. Now I read for them. I told them that you have an inheritance in Christ. Okay? And I told them. Now I thought, because I could see people who are haggard. Now also be the truth is, I had just started getting this revelation. It hadn't started manifesting in any way. So I also went with my own what? Issues. But at least I knew the truth. Okay? But the truth hadn't manifested in a way that it can be seen. So I read for them from Colossians chapter 1, eh? Verse 12. You read that. I said, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So I told them, now, you people, who has qualified you according to the scripture? Then they look at me. I said, let's read the scripture again. Who has qualified you? Because you see, the church wants to qualify itself. But the scripture says the Father has qualified you. Okay? If you were to qualify yourself, you would never ever be qualified. Even if you go and turn yourself upside down and put your leg in your pocket, you would never be qualified. Now, he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Then I said, for an inheritance. So I gave them an example. That was so long ago, actually, that man, Mulwana. You remember Mulwana? The rich man of House of Plastics, what? Had just died. So I told them that, what if there is a meeting to divide the inheritance of Mulwana? And his sons show up there. Then I show up there also, and I say that because his sons, I'm giving an example, I'm not saying it is true, because I'm cleverer than his sons, because I'm sharper, I'm what? I'm qualified for the inheritance. Will I get an inheritance? The only qualification is being a what? That is the only, even if you're stupid, even if you're what, even if you're a rock, even if you're a drug addict, as long as you're a son, that's the reality. Amen? That's the only qualification. Now, regardless of how accomplished you are, you're not going to go to somebody, some rich man's estate and say that, I mean, I'm accomplished, I deserve an inheritance. No, you don't. You're not a son. So I told them, as long as you're a son of God, you are qualified. And it is God who qualified you, not yourself. Then I said, okay, now stand up, all of you. Now start walking like you're qualified. Now, by the time I finished with the message, eh, I realized that people were happy. We are getting happy. You know, I said, eh? Then I said, eh? Katambulangari qualified. Say, I'm qualified. Then people started walking with swag, man. Eh? I'm qualified, I'm qualified. I said, aha, now do it, like for a few minutes. The only person who was very unhappy was the pastor's wife. Because according to her, they are cursed. Eh? Now, the thing is, why do people want to be cursed when they are blessed? Because they want you to tell them something which fits into their reality, current reality. That is a waste of time. You don't need me to come and tell you that you have no money in your pocket. You need me to tell you that even if you have none, you're blessed. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, a whole season goes and people are in curses. Now, that was some years ago. Also, me, I was qualified by faith. Even now, of course, by faith. Eh? But at least now I have something more to show for it. Eh? But you know, I realized that my message lasted like 1 hour. After that, they were going to get every Sunday of curses until they forget. And they will remain what? Cursed. You know, as the Baganda say that, what? That omukuto ogumute ugeza ambua. That a starving dog will not become fat because of one good meal. Eh? So Daniel says that God determines times and seasons. And he stipulates that very well. He sets times and seasons. Now, what we do with those seasons is up to us. But for him, you put the seasons there. And they will move in a specific direction. And you can tell them. You can tell. First of all, you can even tell by seeing what the enemy is doing. Did you know that? Because some of people in the kingdom of darkness seem to know seasons. For instance, have you noticed that even in the music, secular music, okay, not secular, in the, that other music industry, everybody wants to have a collab with Africans. Have you noticed that? Because God is moving in the direction of Africa. Because throughout the generations, we have been the most exploited. Amen? And now, the Lord will not come back when we are still exploited. That's why he has determined that the entire move starts from here. Glory to God. Now, when God moves and decides now it's time for Africa, there is nothing the devil can do apart from coming to Africans and confusing them. You see, for him, you will know, hey, so now it's Africa. So then you will see there is a lot of emphasis. Egyptology. Gods of Egypt. Over what? Then you see there is a lot of African music. And now you can tell that there is a move for Africa. Just by looking at the kingdom of darkness, by the way. And you say, how come that Beyonce is doing a collab with an African? Do you think that would have been possible if God was not moving in the direction of Africans? No, but you see these people, she knows that their time is up. Now, if she did that song herself, it would not go anywhere. But if she can get an African, because there is a season for Africa, she will ride on that. And they are experts at doing that. Riding on a wave because they find people who are do not understand what they are worth. And then they jump on them. And then you think you're being done a favor. Yet actually, you're the one doing that person a favor. Because God is moving in your direction, not in theirs. Now, when there is a season and people move, even in the kingdom of darkness, wherever, they get the benefits thereof. So it is up to the church to understand what the seasons are and also move. And you get the benefits thereof. The trouble is, if there is a staticness, if the message is static, everything is static, as it was in the beginning, so shall it ever be and always shall be, then you miss on seasons. And you hold on to a revelation which may be outlived its usefulness. And now a new revelation has been given. Now, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 24. But before we go that, I want to, some interesting things which I mean, this, I think it's Akena who sent me what? A message where now World Health Organization has said that there are now two other very dangerous viruses. Eh? Which ones are they? Simani, one is a fungi. Are you the one who sent me the message? Fungo what? And the other one is what? Eh. So after COVID, then there was monkeypox. Now in Uganda, Ebola. Now there is another fungal infection, which apparently is also going to be a worldwide whatever. And there are so many things which are being released by the kingdom of darkness with the purpose of actually making us miss out on our season. Because we are in a season of revival. Now, I'll give you an example. Here are these people who are planning a lockdown in Uganda. And remember, notice I said who were planning. Because I turned and said, but Lord, is there anything we can do to reverse this thing? We cannot just sit back and let things happen just like that. Because imagine they lock people up for 6 months. A whole season has been lost of things which could have happened in that time. Then he told me that, as long as the people generally, I'm not talking about you, generally, do not buy into the fear the way they did in COVID period. As long as the people are not with it and they refuse to buy the fear, we can stop it in the spirit. But now, if they can successfully make everybody scared, then you cannot stop it in the spirit, because even in the spirit, if people are moving in a certain direction, things move in that direction. You understand? But now, when I read on social media, and I went for that purpose, and I read on social media, and I saw that there was a post, I think, by one of the newspapers, where doctors were saying they want a lockdown. And I saw the comments under, like 95% or 90 more than that, were all very angry. They said, you, if you want to lock yourselves up, go and lock yourselves up. We do not want a lockdown and what? So I said, now, if the people don't want it, then we can stop it in the spirit. So now we started praying about it. Us and a few people who have determined to take advantage of this season. You see, we are taking matters in our own hands. Amen? And we are having overnights for some people almost every night. There are some people who haven't slept at night here for a long time. Because we are trying to wrestle something away from the kingdom of darkness. And we can do it. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now we are even going to have a general overnight on 11th Friday. After here, we go to office. There is enough space there. Eh? There is dinner and there is coffee. And then we pray all night. And we are going to reverse. Because if they can just do... Can you imagine you're planning all these powerful things? And then just some old tyrant in Entebbe decides to mess you up. Like, if he does that, it is because you have let him. Amen? Let me tell you, it will be shame on us if that happens. Now, I want to take this seriously. If he does that, it will be because we have allowed him. But we can stop it. And I started praying about it. Amen? I can't say for sure I felt I've received a breakthrough. But we are going to still pray about it. Praise the Lord. And take this seriously, because the whole country might be depending on us. All those businessmen, they are worried. They don't know what to do. Now, when we pray, something happens. And if he dares do it, it will be the end of him. You understand? When you pray, you create a scenario where he either desists, but if he does it, that's the end of him. It goes with him. And I'm telling you, you're going to see it. Where if they insist on doing it, he does not finish it. It is the end of him. Anyhow, now we have to stand up as a church. Because you see, the season of us looking by when things happen. Because when it happened with COVID, first of all, the masses were not with us. Amen? They were all scared. Now, there is nothing you can do when everybody is scared. You see, you have to understand that the spirits that govern a place are determined by the people who are down there. Praise the Lord. So when we are ignorant, we'd go and pray that, you know, we cancel the spirits of drunkenness in the air. You're wasting your time. If the people who are down love the alcohol, the spirits of drunkenness will be up in the air. So you don't have to preach the gospel to the people down. When they turn around, then those spirits have no right to be in there. Do you understand the difference? So you can't go and say we are binding the spirits of homosexuality. No. The homosexuals, for them, they are going into schools and paying people to become homosexuals. And now if there's a certain number of people who are homosexual, the spirits come and take over. And for them, they know what they are doing. It's all about men. The earth is given to men. You understand? Eh? It does not belong to God. It does not belong to the devil. He says in Psalms 115 and verse 16, but he has given the what? The earth to men. So, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. But the earth he has given to the children of men. So, the children of men are the ones who determine what happens on earth. Not God. God determines what happens in heaven. That's why it is heaven. We are the ones who determine what happens here. For instance, what happens in Uganda. If they lock people down, it is because we have been lazy. All of you. Now, go home and speak and say, I refuse this lockdown. And we combine our voices tonight. Now, when we do, if he does it, he's going to die. You'll see. Let me show it to you from scripture. Go to the Acts of the Apostles, where they arrested Peter. But you know, let me tell you something. The people of the kingdom of darkness are sharp. They understand what they are doing. For instance, even our leaders here, they know one thing. Do you know how much effort they put into dividing the church? Just dividing the church. Now you see all these things, one pastor attacking another, then the other one attacking, then a pastor's wife attacks the other. It's sponsored. Because if all those people came together, we would spit out that tyrant. He would be no more. He knows it. He's a spiritual man. He knows it. So it is all sponsored. So there is a man sponsored going around the country calling everybody whom he disagrees with a false prophet. False prophet, false prophet. who takes it? It doesn't, he's the brokest pastor, you know, but he's moving around on money which is given to him by you know who. False prophets. Then abusing everybody, including dead people. He abuses you when you're dead. He gets your corpse and abuses it. And then first of all, it causes people of the world to wonder what's wrong with these people. Can you imagine what people of the world, they see you abusing somebody who is dead. Like, how can they even start admiring what you have? Like, you don't even have common, like, sense to know that when somebody is dead, you don't abuse him. First of all, he's not hearing you. Then you abuse his family, then you abuse... But I mean, okay. Like, and now, they make the church look like real jokers, and it is sponsored. Anyway. About that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Now, you see this man, he actually deliberately says, there are these people who are preaching the gospel, and they are all over. Then he stretches out his hand purposely to harass them. Then it says, then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now, James was one of the foremost apostles, the three whom Jesus would go with everywhere. Peter, James, and John. Eh? So Herod got him and killed him. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. Now, if the church had kept quiet, he was going to kill Peter also. Now, when you say, how could he kill Peter? He killed James. Now, when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Go ahead. So Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Now, when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping and bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Go ahead. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off, go very fast. Then the angel said to him, guard yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So when he had gone out, when he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know that of certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. Go ahead. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl had... Okay, you might have to go a bit ahead. Go like to verse 20 and we see. Verse 20. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre. Now look at what happened. This was the other part of what happened was just a small part. Now here is the part that really happened when the people prayed. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. But they came to him with one accord. And having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, the voice of a god and not of a man. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. This is going to be somebody's fate, by the way. But the word of God grew. Now listen to this. You see, the scripture does not just bring things anyhow. As soon as it says, then Herod died, then he says, but the word of God grew. Now, if somebody has put himself up as an obstacle to what God is doing, he's going to be eaten by worms from inside. I'm telling you now, the word of God, but you see, all this would not have happened if the church had not stood and prayed. Now, they prayed for Peter, but they prayed for the problem to get lost once and for all. So, because if Herod had not died, they would probably come back for Peter. And then after that, maybe for John. Then after that, for you understand? Eh? Now, when somebody starts something, one lockdown, you don't congregate for 2 years. And then he wants to come with another. Now, that's time for you to say, okay, we've had enough. Now, we are going to unleash the power that we have. Let me tell you something. I was telling people who are our partners, and I told them that, do you know how powerful it is for people who have the Spirit of God to stand in one place and proclaim something about somebody? Do you know how powerful it is? I saw it in the negative. When people, church members, would stand, sit around because one person left the church, and they start saying, that person is going to suffer, is going to kusirana, unless he comes back to this church. Have you heard those things? Do you think those things go empty-handed? Those people suffer because of those words. Those words have an impact if they are said by a number of believers. Of course, it's not the impact of the Spirit of God, but their words cause a cover to go off some people, and the people are attacked by the devil. It once happened to me. I left a certain church, and the pastor's wife would be there sending those witchcraft prayers. Of course, I wasn't what I am now, so they could affect me, but small things, you knock your... And then you realize somebody is saying something about you, because, you know, eh? And then they should gather people and say, he has to come back here. He has to come back here. Of course, what I did is I just went above them, and now their words are just like blowing wind. But when people sit and determine, like the way the church was here, and they pray for Peter, the angel comes and releases Peter, but says, now we are solving the problem once and for all. Herod is the problem, right? Yeah, so solved. And then the next verse, very important, but the word of God grew. You first go to the previous verse. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck Herod, because he did not give glory to God, and was eaten by worms, and what? And the word of God, what? There are some people who have to die for the word of God to grow. I'm telling you. If they have made themselves an obstacle, the only reason they have succeeded is because we have been lazy. Now, when we decide not to be lazy, you wait and see. Now, we are going to not be lazy. Amen? Some of you might be lazy. It's up to you. But others, we are not going to be what? Lazy. Then we set a word in motion. If he dares want to mess us up again, this is what he is going to encounter. And the word is set in motion. And then the next thing you see, something has happened. Praise the Lord. And when the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. Now, you see, because you see, when the enemy sees that there is a season, and now there is a reason why it's in Uganda. It's in Uganda because here is where the foremost move of God is going to come from. You understand? Eh? So now they have even chosen us to have gain of function research to start producing viruses from animals. Then even the sister of King Charles was here. She was scheduled to visit a school of the blind and the deaf, and the school caught fire before she came. Let me tell you, you have to see some of these things spiritually. I thought it was just by, but it was on the schedule of the things she was supposed to visit. Then there was a fire. Then people died. Now, in the UK, now as they are producing virus after virus, and by the way, very seriously targeting Uganda, there are two options. Either we do what the church did, but if we keep quiet, James died 2 years of lockdown. That was the equivalent of James what? Now we cannot allow Peter to die also. We can't. Somebody else will die in his stead. You destroy everybody's life, make people die of hunger, die of poverty. And for what? It's because the church has chosen to be lazy. Now for us, we have decided. And now the season now is a season of prayer. We are praying. Eh? We are praying and taking charge. We are taking total control over those things. That we are no longer going to come and say, man, I hope this guy doesn't look up. There is no hoping. There is no hoping. We are in control. We are going to take control. Praise the Lord. They do those things because they can. But when we stand up, they can't. You see, every once in a while, people have to be reminded that the gospel is not a joke, although it is grace. You remember the guy in Acts 13, when Paul was trying to preach to the proconsul, and some guy was trying to stop him from preaching to the guy. You remember what he did? Let's show us the next verse. You see now here, this is where the gospel has become serious. Eh? It's the next chapter, Acts 13. Hmm? Then Paul is trying to preach to this leader. Then some guy decides that he's all that. He comes and he tries to mess up what Paul is saying. Paul is trying to preach to the guy, and the guy is listening, the proconsul. And he's telling him about Jesus, about how he's called. Then this guy comes and what? Then Paul turns around. Eh? Who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man? Now this man called for Barnabas and Saul, and sought to hear the word of God. Now imagine, the man actually calls for them and says, you people come and preach to me the word of God. Go ahead to the next verse. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to put a lockdown. Eh? Seeking to turn the proconsul away from the what? From the faith. Eh? Then Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Now indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Next verse. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now, there are times when you have to show certain people that, man, we are not joking. Praise the Lord. So the guy goes blind. And now, the proconsul receives the gospel. Another man is eaten by worms, and the gospel what? Prevails and grows. Praise the Lord. Now we are going to, we are not, by the way, there is team no sleep. How many people have been in team no sleep? Like, who have been at office praying? Some of you are lying. Praise the Lord. The season that we are in, by the way, is not a joke. Now we have been serious. You don't have to come with it. But next Friday, we all expect you to come. We are going to combine our voices. And we are going to unleash things. Praise the Lord. Now that thing which people proclaim and say that this person is going to consider, do you know how powerful that very same thing is if it is said in the positive? If it is said positively. For instance, somebody comes and says, brethren, I'm looking for a job. I haven't worked for 2 years. Then all the brethren stand and point their hands and say, we release a job. All of you. There is no way that person will fail to get the job. It is impossible. The combined voices of the saints make every wall crumble. And that's what we are going to be doing. Where people come up and they state their case. And we say, what's your problem? I want this. Okay. Now we unleash our voices, all of us, and said this and this, go and get that job. Then the next week the guy comes and says, man, I have an appointment later. Then we say, anybody else? We are going to make things happen. Praise the Lord. We are not joking any longer, by the way. And we are not going to let Peter be killed also. We can't. If they killed James, they are not going to kill who? Peter. Glory to God. Now go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 24. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall rise from the kingdom, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be different from the first one, and shall subdue 3 before him. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change the times and the law. Praise the Lord. Now, the enemy cannot change the times. Daniel declared in chapter 2 and verse 21 that it is God who determines the times and the what? And the seasons. But you see here, the spirit of the Antichrist, which we are facing right now, trying to change the times. The purpose of him trying to change the times is, imagine if it were possible and he can, the rule of the Antichrist were to take root right now. Right now. And he's in control for, let's say, 15 years. Do you know what would happen? That's what he wants. He wants to change the time because God stipulated that his time of rulership is 3.5 years, which it says here. The saints shall be given to Jesus for a time, times and a half a time. So the time of his rulership is 3.5 years. That is set. But you see, he says he shall seek to what? To change the time. He shall seek to come in before his time. Because he knows if he can institute those
Antichrist things. Earlier, so many people will not be saved. And that's why the scripture says, Matthew 24, verse 22. He says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days were shortened. Now, elsewhere he says, in Mark chapter 13, verse 20, he says, there he specifically says, the Lord shortened those days. Unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake whom he chose, he shortened those days. Now, God made those days of great tribulation very short for a reason. He knew so many people would be pushed to the wall and very few people would survive if the Antichrist actually came and managed to institute his program. And it lasted for a very long time. That's why God said, short time, 3.5 years, stipulated, set in stone, it cannot be moved. But that doesn't mean he doesn't try to want to push it. For instance, in the UK, what is happening there right now, you saw what was happening with the prime ministers. Now, the king, that evil man, wants to first take control of his country before he can go and start taking control of the whole world. So then he gets that woman, Liz Truss. She realizes that she either goes full circle down that thing or she quits as prime minister. So she quits. Then Boris Johnson, who was being talked about, decides that he's not going to come and be used by that evil man. So he says, I'm also out of it. Then they get a Pakistani who first comes and lights candles. Did you see that thing? You saw it? The man came and lit candles. And now, if you come and kneel down and pray, they will say, controversial, what? But you come and do something demonic. Nobody says anything bad. They are taking pictures. And they think the man was doing demonic rituals. You look at the whole video. It was all demonic rituals. But it's okay for them. Now, then he goes in. But then that very same man, isn't he the man? Who created that? Who said that they are creating those central bank? That's the same guy. The central bank digital currencies. Now, central bank digital currencies, interesting thing. Because that is the introduction of the Antichrist monetary system. Central bank digital currencies. Because it means that every transaction you make goes through a controlled system by the central bank. And all the money you have is on your phone. So they call it, what wallet? Digital wallet. So you have a digital wallet, which has all your money. All the money you have in the bank is in your digital wallet, which means it's kind of safe, and they will use that. It is safe, But now the trouble with that digital wallet, different from banks, is banks, if you withdraw money and go and buy something, nobody knows what you've bought. But now the idea is to get rid of all cash, every transaction of cash, and everything you buy is bought with that mobile wallet. So when you go to the supermarket, they tabulate the things you've bought, and you transfer from your mobile wallet to the mobile wallet of the supermarket. And that's the payment done. No cash involved. Now, of course, they will say it's convenient, but it's also very, very important for their control. Do you know why? Because they have total control over that mobile wallet. They can stop it anytime they want. They can just cut you off. Just like that. Or they can say, in case there is a lockdown, and they say you're not supposed to move outside of, let's say, 5 kilometers from your place of residence. You can only move within 5 kilometers of your place of residence. Now, they can program your mobile wallet to stop working when you are more than 5 kilometers away from the place you registered as your home. So if you move and break the lockdown, and then you go to a place 6 kilometers away, you go to pay, cancelled. Or they can decide that now, because fuel is dangerous, fossil fuels, you've heard that, we are moving climate change. So they say you are limited to buying only 300,000 shillings worth of fuel, let's say every month. So if you go to a petrol station and you can only buy petrol using mobile wallet, and you've already exceeded your 300,000, you cannot get petrol. So you have to wait for the next month. Now, that's how they institute their Revelation 13. Nobody shall buy or sell. Now, it is being pushed heavily already by the world G7 nations. And they are pushing it, as well as pushing them. On the one hand, they are pushing viruses. which are supposed to make everybody tame and calm and locked down and scared. Now remember, fear is very necessary for the devil to do anything. In the absence of fear, the devil is completely emasculated. So they have to create fear. There is a fungal thing which kills 60% of the people who catch it. A new virus. World Health Organization has announced. Then, in Boston Lab, they created a new strain of COVID, which kills 80%. Then when they are just getting from that, then they come and tell you now there is another one, now made in Uganda. Uganda, which does not even make matchboxes, is now manufacturing world viruses. Eh? Now, then they create... Imagine if that were... And they create fear all across the country and everybody is scared. If you survive the 60%, the 80 will hammer you. If you survive the 80, there is a 40 here. Then there is a 30 here. Eh? And that's about everybody is scared. Remember what I told you last week? Eh? People's hearts will fail for distress. Now, so on the other hand, they are creating the fear. Then on this hand, they are actually creating the digital currencies, which are going to be responsible for making sure that you cannot... So... How do we get past that? Praise the Lord. Every country has to wrestle control away from the devil back to the people of God. Amen? Amen? When a nation has a leadership that fears God, they'll resist these people's things. And it only takes one nation to stand up and resist, and you'll see how many others will join them. Praise the Lord. When you resist their climate change rubbish, and all those things. And you will see how many people come up. That's the truth. So, nations, we have to start by taking control of Uganda. So that they cannot come and say, now we are going to start manufacturing viruses in Entebbe. If you have a president who fears God, do you think that can happen? It can't. Now let every other country take care of itself. But other countries are trying. I'm seeing in America, people are trying to wrestle back control away from the people of the devil. Everywhere else in the world. So also us, we have to wrestle control. Now, that means that the enemy is trying to change times and seasons, but he's not going to succeed, praise the Lord. But in his not succeeding, we have to wrestle back control of our country and make sure that demonic decisions are not made. And the decisions are made here. You understand? Eh? We can make them here by setting something in motion. We speak a word in unison. Imagine if even half the people here, half, because not all of you will come for overnight. Some of you have children to take care of and all that. That's understood. Although we shall have a place for children. But imagine if half of the people here came and we pronounced something in unison, in one mind. You're joking. You will see. It has power. It has power. All of us have the Spirit of God. Amen? And we are in one mind. And we say this is not going to happen to our country. We all speak in unison. And said, this is going to be this. And let's wait and see. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We are not simple people. I'm talking about us. Eh? Those guys who were praying for Peter to be released, they were not praying for Herod to die. But the Lord decided, let's sort this problem once and for all. So also us, we are not praying for anybody to what? Yeah. But we are just praying for Peter not to die. Yeah. Yeah. That's all. If the Lord decides to solve the problem once and for all, it's the Lord doing and it's what? Marvelous. Yes. It was the Lord's doing and it is marvelous in our eyes. Praise the Lord. If he decides to do that, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
That was the Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa, Kampala. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UGWatchman, Instagram at @the_UGWatchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, Visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.